Let me ask you a question. Which one of you have ever heard the expression, the fruit of the Spirit, please raise a hand? The fruit of the Spirit. Oh, good. Quite a lot of you. So, if you're here and if it's the first time you've ever heard about this expression, the fruit of the Spirit, you might be wondering, what is this fruit about? Or why would somebody talk about it? Or why is it important for my life? What is this fruit of the Spirit? And I'm going to tell you what is it, and I'm going to show you and tell you by using an imaginary object. Think about a jewelry, a diamond. When you have a diamond, you look at this diamond, and this diamond has many facets. And it's very interesting because the fruit of the Spirit is like this diamond having many facets, many characteristics that God has and Jesus Christ wants you to develop in your life. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And it's very interesting that God, when he created us, actually, he was thinking about developing this in our lives. So he asked the Holy Spirit to come and he poured this in our lives so he can make this possible in our lives. Well, this evening, I'm going to talk a bit about the fruit of the Spirit. And if you follow me, open your books, open your Bibles with me in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 to 23, where Apostle Paul, one of the greatest writers of the Bible, has written two verses where he describes what this fruit of the Spirit is about. So he says like that, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." No law. Now, another question. If anybody would ask you, what is love? What would be the first definition that would cross your mind? Isn't it that love is not so easy to be explained? Isn't it that it's not easy to give a simple definition to love? Because when you think about love, it can be expressed in many ways. It can be love for family, love for parents, love for husband, love for wife, love for children, for dogs, for items, for country, for, I don't know, love for so many things. But if you were thinking this night, and if we were to give a definition of the love, this would sound like this. Love is a complex feeling manifested by strong affection. This is love. Well, love is not simple. Love is complex. I googled love a few days ago on the internet and I've got thousands, billions of results and many definitions, and some of them were quite interesting. And what amazes me when I read about this fruit of the Spirit called love is that God does not condemn love. Actually, God encourages us to love each other. Because he's the one who placed this feeling in our hearts. You know, when you look at the Bible, you see that God is the one who asked us to love each other. Because when somebody stops having this feeling for another person, for his brother, his sister, in faith, or for his family, that person stops looking like God anymore. That's why this evening, God encourages us to think about this fruit of the Spirit. You see, God is so passionate about love. He was so passionate that he asked a few writers along the history to take a book, to take some letters and write these words. And God compelled them in one book, which is called the Bible. And this is the love story from God to the humanity, to each one of us. More than that, follow me. God is so passionate about love, so that he asked another one, a very wise person called Solomon, to write a love story between a young man and a young woman. And the story is found in Song of Songs. But more than that, the same God inspired another man, another writer, a famous writer called Apostle Paul, to write a whole chapter in a book about love. And this chapter is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Good. Just checking out. Now, whenever we look in the Bible, what I like about the Bible is that God never gives us theories, ideas, and things to do. And he stays aside and he looks us doing. Always God asks us to do something that he had already done. So when you think about love, when God asks us to love each other or love the enemies, first of all, you have to look at God. And if you look at the Holy Trinity, which is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, if you look at the relationship between these three persons, you can see the perfect bondage of love. The perfect relationship. And you know what? Jesus Christ took this love and brought it here on the earth when he took a human life and he died for our sins. That's the way Jesus Christ showed us what love is about. So if you follow me, if you have your Bibles with you, please open in John 15, verse 9. Look at what Jesus Christ says. And he says like this, As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, he said, remain in my love. Oh, this is simple. But if you are reading this verse quite seriously, there is a question that arises. How can you remain in God's love? This is a question, isn't it? Well, the answer comes in the next verse. So follow me, verse 10. It says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. That's the way we can remain in his love. But you know what? There is another question. If you look in the text, you'll ask yourself, okay, there are plenty of commandments in the Bible. Which one shall I obey so that I would prove to God that I love him? Now, if you were to take all the commandments in the Bible, analyze them, study them, and systemize them, guys, it will take us an eternity. So I was thinking this night, bringing you the two most important commandments in the Bible. Actually, they are the most important, and the whole law and the whole prophets are condensed in these two commandments. So follow me. Again, open your Bibles. I'm glad that you brought them. In Matthew 22, verse 36. Let me give you the context. Jesus Christ, while he was on the earth, there came a ruler, a spiritual leader, a wise man who studied the Bible, who studied Torah in those times. And he asked Jesus Christ, he said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." In short, love God and love your neighbor. And that's it. That's so simple. Love God and love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor. And whenever I show love, I attract God's love. But whenever I choose to turn back to God, you know what? I attract not God's love, but God's wrath. So what I'm going to tell you this evening is love really matters to God. Actually, our relationship with God is based on love. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is based on love. And I know how someone once put it in this way. He said, love is the wing of the soul given by God to ascend to him. Wow, this is amazing. So God gave us a wing so we can ascend to him. And this wing is called love. This is just amazing. Because when you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, then you fulfill God's commandments. Then you are loved by God. Therefore, I would like to ask you this evening, how does this facet of the fruit of the Spirit called love is shining in your life. More than that, if we were to think how much do we love God, we love Jesus Christ, how much would you say, I love Jesus Christ? Well, if you think and if you look in your side, inside of you, and the fire of love for Jesus Christ has disappeared, there is a chance, there is hope. And we can come to Jesus Christ this evening and ask Him, Lord, please take my heart and place there the love for You, because I need that. I need that. So it is so easy to think about it. It is so easy if everything would end here. It would so easy if I would be me, if it would be me and God. Like, think about like this. God provides me health, and I give Him in return love. God provides me health, or clothing, or food, and I give Him in return love. It would be like in Eden Garden, where Adam and Eve lived. But you know what? Things went wrong in Eden Garden. And these two people sin, and after them, all people has been born in sin, and they live this sinful life. And now, more than that, the whole world has been populated with, was filled with people. And these people now are made of your parents, your friends, your relatives, and even your enemies. People that you find sometimes really hard to love. People that they can hardly give you reasons to love. But still, the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the commandment. So I'm telling you this evening, it is so hard to fulfill this commandment. I myself, find sometimes really hard to love somebody who made me hate him or hate her. I sometimes find really hard, and maybe you feel the same thing sometimes. So I'm telling you this evening, we sometimes find it really hard because sometimes there is a problem in our lives, and this sin is called selfishness. You know which was the word of 2013? Selfie. Selfie. And we all know what this term is about, but you know what? Behind this selfie term, there is hidden a certain philosophy. Everything about me, taking pictures with me, taking pictures with us, to appear every day, to check out, to check in, to check in, to check in, to show people pictures with me, everything I go. I'm in the kitchen, I'm in the bathroom, I go with friends, I'm with some people, every time, everywhere, just pictures with me. Selfie. So whenever we think all about ourselves, you know what happens? This ego, this flesh, as the Bible calls it, this flesh actually is never satisfied, and we fear it. That's why this evening I'm calling you to ask Jesus Christ to fill your hearts with love, because when our lives are filled with love, then there's no place for selfishness. Because in our lives, there can't be love and selfishness in our lives. Whenever it's one, then it occupies the whole heart. So I'm calling you again. I'm calling you again. And I want to end up with this amazing verse that all of us should know. I bet you learned it when you were in the Sunday school morning classes. It's found in John 3:16, and it's called the Little Gospel. And this verse presents us and tell us the solution, the person who can help us love the people around us. And this verse says like this, and please let us say it all together out loud. For God so loved the world that He gave His only and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. So, again, I'm asking you, how is this fruit of the Spirit, this facet of the fruit of the Spirit, love, shining in your life? You see, the Bible says that apart from you, you cannot do anything. So many times we struggle to help people, to love people. But God says, as much as you struggle, you cannot do without me. So I'm calling you and I'm pointing to a certain person. And that person is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that can help you and can help me to love the people around us. So my prayer is to come to God, to talk to Him, to have the courage to talk with Him openly and say, Lord, please, you know my selfishness. So get rid of all these sins from my heart and come and clean it and then fill it with the presence of the Holy Spirit and with your love that you showed us on the cross. Think about it. Meditate on it. And may God help you show the following week the love that Jesus Christ showed to us. Amen.